Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, from what two countries are many Sephardic Jews applying for Spanish nationality under the new citizenship law, and why? Charles A. McDonald is a doctoral candidate in anthropology and history at the New School for Social Research in New York. He's also currently a visiting researcher at the Consejo Superior de Investigaciones Científicas and the Universidad Autónoma de Madrid, where he's completing dissertation research on the return of Jews and Judaism to Spain from the mid-19th century to the present. His work has been supported by the Wenner-Gren Foundation, the Social Science Research Council, and the Center for Jewish History. We spoke with McDonald about his research and findings. Thank you very much for speaking with us, Charles. Could you tell us a little bit about your own background first and how you came to be interested in the subject of Jews in Spain?
Sure. This current project began rather serendipitously, as a lot of projects do. In the fall of 2007, I moved to Spain for a year to teach English with the Ministry of Education. I was in a bilingual program at a high school in Cordoba. And I was also, at the time, finishing up my first master's thesis. So I sort of had one foot here in Spain and one foot back in New York, working on a previous project that had nothing to do with Spain and nothing to do with Jews. But I was basically across the street from the Jewish quarter in Cordoba. And that was where I went to walk around, to think, to write. And the other project that I was working on was very much about cultural heritage and how people engage with the past and how the past is represented by governments. So it didn't take long, I think, for those two things to kind of connect for me and to think about, well, how is this Jewish history being presented in Cordoba, which, you know, was the shining light of Jewish philosophy and culture in the Middle Ages, and still has, you know, one of the largest and best preserved Jewish quarters in Spain, maybe in Europe.
So what was the focus of your first master's, really?
So the first master's was at, I was at the City University of New York, and it was about the purchase of the U.S. Virgin Islands by the U.S. from Denmark in the early 20th century, and about how race and violence and the history of colonialism were represented later, so in the then present. So it was really about historical production. So how do people create history, how is it received, and how do people sort of make sense of the present via the past? So I was sort of finishing writing that and not yet at all in Spain academically, although it was already very much part of my social life and a place that I was attached to and had friends here. And
so how did you happen to come to Spain on that program?
So I first came to Spain in 2004 with a friend and totally fell in love. I think we did like a week in Madrid and then a week in Barcelona, and I just fell in love. And I came back, I guess, a year later actually with my parents, which is a little funny because they actually had been divorced for 30 years. But we all, the three of us, traveled together. We did Cordoba and Sevilla and Malaga and Granada, and we did the whole Andalusia thing. And I was just like, yeah, I need to be here. So I knew from, you know, I don't remember now who it was, but some friend of mine had done this Auxiliares program where you basically, the Spanish government was recruiting North American teachers to come and teach English in new bilingual immersion programs. So I applied, I got in, but I wasn't yet done with my master's. So I said, look, you know, I'm done with coursework, so I can write up while I'm there. It was, you know, 15 hours a week, something like that, working. And so that was it. So I became an English teacher, which, you know, I enjoyed, but it also made clear to me that academia was really, like higher education was really where I wanted to be. So I loved teaching English, but the whole time I was kind of itching to get back to the States and get back to graduate school and increasingly to start this project.
Yeah. You were teaching children?
I was teaching in a high school, so I was teaching people anywhere from like 13 to 18.
So you went back to the States, and then what did you do?
So I was in Cordoba in 2007, 2008. So I went back right as the crisis was starting here. I was headed back to New York. I worked for 3 years at a place called the International Center, which was a nonprofit that worked with immigrants and refugees. And basically what we did is we trained volunteers to teach them English. So it ended up actually being really useful the year that I had done teaching English in Cordoba, and I sort of moved into nonprofit management, and then I moved into grant writing, and I did that for about 3 years, and then I went back to school for my PhD. And that's where I am now. I'm at the New School for Social Research, and I'm a PhD candidate in, a dual PhD candidate, anthropology and history. So I took a few years off, but it was never completely off because Spain was very much in my mind, and the time that I spent getting to know the Jewish quarter in Cordoba sort of stuck with me because, I mean, for one, I, like I think many other people, had no idea that there were any Jews left in Spain post-1492. I was, totally ignorant on that case. And once I began spending time with Jewish friends, and particularly at the Casa Sefarad, and became friends with the owners, which is like a little private museum in Cordoba, I was like, well, this is really important. And they in particular were doing this really important work, I thought, that was not just sort of memorializing the Jewish past or talking about Sefarad or Al-Andalus, but they were actually involved in living Jewish culture. There were always people coming to give talks. There were, dancing and music and very much connected to the Jewish world in Spain, but also people coming from France, from Israel, from the US, from Morocco. And I felt like this story of modern Jewish Spain, let's say from mid-19th century to now, hadn't really been told. And I was like, well, I didn't know this existed. And so I spent the next few years reading, thinking, well, I must have missed something. And I kept reading and I kept reading. And, there are a handful of people who've done some really fascinating historical work and anthropological work about contemporary Jewish life in Spain, but there's really a handful. And so part of what I'm trying to do is create the first ethnography, the first anthropological work that comprehensively deals with the modern Jewish period as something that's real and exists and how. So what does it take to be Jewish or to become Jewish in Spain today? How is the government involved? So that's sort of the core. The metaphor that a lot of people use when I talk to them is a return to Sefarad, right? So in the 1860s, the first large numbers of Jews start returning to Spain from Morocco and setting up communities in Sevilla and in Madrid. The first wave was in 1860 during the Spanish African War. And then there's a whole other wave in the 1950s from, of course, all of the Arab countries, from Turkey. And then there's this other wave of Ashkenazi Jews from Argentina that come right in the 1970s and the 1990s. So part of my project is trying to figure out how all these different parts of the Jewish world, and not just the Sephardic world, but parts of the Jewish world, come together in Spain from the mid-19th century on and really transform what Jewish Spain is. So that's sort of where the work is right now.
So why have you been living in Barcelona for 6 months, and why are you now in Madrid rather than in Andalusia?
That's a great question. That has a lot, I think, to do with how projects change over time. So I began formally working on this project in 2010 when I returned to my PhD program. And I spent, 3 years reading and preparing and doing oral exams and then applying for grants for field work. So I have two grants that support me here, the Winter Grant Foundation, which is an anthropological organization, and the Social Science Research Council, which supports all kinds of humanities and social science stuff. And when I wrote those grants, the way I had imagined this research would go would be that I would spend 4 months in Barcelona, 4 months in Madrid, and 4 months between Sevilla and Cordoba. And the idea was sort of that in each region, which obviously is really important here in Spain, right, because they have such distinctive histories, and the way that regional politics play out, I think, is very much connected as well to Jewish history. So the idea was that in Barcelona, I was really going to think about people that were returning to Judaism, so people that find out that they have Jewish ancestry, but who grew up Catholic or secular, and decide to really commit their life to being Jewish. And in Madrid, the plan was that I was going to work on this new citizenship law that was first you know, announced in 2012 and then signed into law in the summer of 2015 and then finally went into effect October 2015. And then in the south of Spain, I was going to return to some of the earliest seeds of this project when I was thinking about cultural heritage and museums and how the medieval Jewish past is represented. When I got here, I realized that was way too big. That was just too much for one person to do in 12 months. So what I decided instead to do was really just to spend my time in Barcelona and Madrid, which are the two largest Jewish communities. So I've been in Barcelona since August of 2015. I'll be there until February or early March. And I've more or less kept my plan there. So I'm working there with a variety of Jewish communities, and particularly with people that are in the process of returning or converting. So mainly people who have an Anusim history and found out one way or the other and are now, you know, spending a year, sometimes a year and a half or longer, going to conversion classes, going, you know, to synagogue every week and preparing to go before the Bet Din.
Are there many?
You know, this is always a tricky question. Relative to how small the Jewish community is in Spain, I would say yes. But it's you know, it's a hard thing to quantify. But in any given community, particularly in Reform or liberal communities, there tends to be a fairly large proportion of people who are either returning or converting.
Yeah, but there's a difference. I mean, one thing is the Anusim or the crypto-Jews who are going back to Judaism, and something else is people who are converting to Judaism.
Yeah, well, I mean, this gets really tricky, right? Because in a lot of cases, when you go before the Bet Din, there are actually two certificates that they give. One is for people who have some sort of documentable history as having Anusim ancestors, or even maybe, you know, they grew up in a Jewish household, but the mother wasn't Jewish, so depending on what, you know, what current of Judaism you're within, they might be recognized or not. And another is people who, for whatever reason, feel drawn to Judaism and feel like they want to be Jewish and have put in the time and the energy and the learning to do that. And I'm interested in both. I'm interested in what it takes to be Jewish, regardless of what your, you know, ethnic, I'll say in quotation marks, what your family history is. I want to know, as an anthropologist, I'm interested in, like, what does it take to learn to become Jewish, to learn to become part of a community? How does that work? What do you have to do? How do you have to reorganize your life, particularly in a country like Spain that, you know, for the most part, most people know very little about Judaism here and about Jewish people, and have often these very romantic ideas in the best of cases, or, you know, quite anti-Semitic ideas about what a Jewish person is or Jewish communal life looks like. So I'm really interested in that process, you know, for both of those groups.
So the people who you've been in contact with who are in some way returning to Judaism or converting, are they doing it with the Orthodox community? Because otherwise, as you know, it wouldn't really be officially recognized, like in Israel, for instance.
Yeah, I'm working with a variety of communities. So one of the things that I'm really interested in this project is the, for lack of a better word, the congregational differences within Judaism. And, you know, the way that that plays out in Spain, of course, is quite different than in Israel or the United States or France, for example. You know, so for a long time, obviously the largest and most established community here was the Orthodox community, particularly people whose, you know, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents returned from Morocco. But then, you know, as I mentioned earlier, this wave of immigration that came from Latin America really transformed in the second half of the 20th century what the composition or demographics of the Jewish community are like in Spain, because they were mostly of Ashkenazi background. You know, their parents or grandparents came from Eastern Europe for the most part and brought with them Reform and Masorti versions of Judaism. So I'm interested in how those communities engage or do not engage with each other, you know, different ideas about sort of who counts as a Jew, right? Which is this really old question that never gets resolved, because there's always this big debate about who decides who counts as a Jew, who's eligible to become a Jew. So I try and work with as many different groups as I can to understand how each of them deals with that issue, you know, how they accept people, how they welcome people or don't welcome people. My job as an anthropologist is to talk to as many people as possible, so I'm not sticking to any one particular group.
Well, you've been here for quite a while. Can you tell us something about what you've discovered? And also, is there much difference that you have found between, say, Madrid and Barcelona, which, as you mentioned, are the two largest Jewish groups?
So let's see. At this point, I've been just under 6 months in Barcelona. I've been coming periodically here to Madrid. I'll be moving to Madrid next month. What have I discovered so far? Well, it's still really early, at least in the field work. I've been doing the archival research and the bibliographic research for a longer time. But what I can say now from what I've been doing so far, so a couple things stand out to me. One is that I think the citizenship law that was proposed a few years ago and that has now come into force, I think is really important, even though I think it's not necessarily that interesting or important for a lot of people who are already living here. I think it has the potential to really transform the politics of the Jewish community here. So, you know, I think the idea when it was proposed and then gradually came into force legally was that it would be more or less a symbolic gesture, right? The Spanish government was sort of atoning for their previous sins, and that this was a way to sort of make good on the history of the Inquisition and the expulsion and all of that. But what I've started finding out is that it's having some unintended consequences. For example, I think most people expected that you'd have a handful of people, maybe from Arab countries or from Turkey, maybe even some Americans, who might get a passport, but who probably wouldn't move here. One thing that seems like it might be going on is that some people, as they're applying now in Israel, for example, are interested in having an EU passport, not necessarily in residing in Spain. You know, and now, for example, in Germany, there's a larger Jewish population there now than there was before the war. And there's a particularly large in Berlin population of Israelis. So I think one thing that I'm paying attention to is if people do indeed apply for and then get citizenship via this law for Sephardim, where they actually end up going. Do they just stay where they are? Do they end up moving somewhere? Is it to Spain? Is it somewhere else in the EU? Another thing that I think's been, at least for me, somewhat surprising is that so far a lot of the people who are applying for this are actually Venezuelans, which is known as having a large Sephardic population in Latin America. But I think one of the things that we're seeing both there and in Turkey is that in regimes where things are really crumbling, you know, things are really quite bad in Venezuela and in Turkey right now politically, this becomes one way that Venezuelans or Turkish people who happen to be Jewish might find some way to find a new home somewhere else. So they have that access because of the fact that they have Sephardic ancestry, but it's also creating a new way out for people who are in rather dire situations. So
yeah, but there's also been a big upsurge of anti-Semitism in those countries.
Absolutely. No, that's absolutely true. So, I mean, it's one of the things I'm looking at here, too, is what is the relationship? There's kind of, in Spain in particular, is in this kind of, you know, schizophrenic relationship between anti-Semitism and philo-Semitism. So on the one hand, Spain has this reputation, which I think rightly so, for being one of the most anti-Semitic, you know, countries in Europe. Although we could debate, I'm hesitant to use that term because I think there are all sorts of other things that are wrapped up in it, which may not have anything to do with anti-Semitism, but may have to do with the state of Israel, or all sorts of racial politics that have longer histories in Europe. But I think what is clear is that there's, on the one hand, this sort of fear or mistrust or ignorance about Jewish people in Spain. But there's also this long history of public intellectuals and activists and politicians in Spain, particularly in the early 20th century, who are sort of obsessed with Sephardic Jews in the diaspora. And in particular, a lot of the people who would later go on to be fascist intellectuals, strangely enough, were really taken with the communities that they, you know, quote-unquote rediscovered in the teens, the 1920s, in the Balkans, in Morocco, because they saw these communities who spoke a version of Spanish, who spoke Ladino, as being somehow proof of the greatness of the Spanish Empire, and perhaps a way that, you know, after Spain loses the last of its colonies in 1898, and there's this whole movement of regenerationism, which is concerned with rebuilding the Spanish Empire and becoming great again. some of the intellectuals who are involved with that see Sephardic Jews in parts of the Mediterranean as a way to do that, that these could be sort of intermediaries that would help the Spanish Empire, instead of, you know, in its turn away from the Atlantic, turn towards the Mediterranean. And I have some colleagues who've done really, really great work on that here. Maite Ojeda Mata, who's at the Autonoma in Barcelona, where I was affiliated in the fall, just wrote a really fabulous book that explores some of this history. Another colleague of mine in the U.S., Michal Friedman, wrote a fantastic dissertation about the history of Jewish studies in Spain, which tracks how this interest, this love-hate relationship that Spain has had historically, how it got institutionalized at places like the SEEC or at universities here in Spain. That's one of the things that I'm really interested in, and I think that we can see how some of that plays out as this citizenship law rolls out in the next, you know, year or 2 years.
When do you think that you'll be finished with this and actually do the writing? Because it seems to me that you're trying to encompass an awful lot.
Yes. So I'm here in Spain until August, so I will have been here 12 months. But I've also been making summer trips basically for the last 4 years before I moved here for my field work. And I imagine that I'll probably come back once or twice while I'm writing. So the plan right now is that I'll go back to New York the end of this coming summer, and I'll probably have another research fellowship there where I'm focusing on more archival information. So I'm sort of trying to tack between anthropology and history, and strangely enough, there are a lot of sources in New York and also in Philadelphia that deal with Jewishness in modern Spain, but they basically haven't been looked at because scholars who are trained in Jewish studies don't typically learn Spanish. They learn Hebrew, they learn French, they learn German, they learn Yiddish. So I found there are all these archival materials that have been basically ignored because the people who are trained in that discipline don't read that language. So this past summer, for example, I had a fellowship at the Center for Jewish History, and I found boxes and boxes of material that, you know, were amazing because they dealt with this scholar who was born in Turkey, grew up in the U.S., and then was doing research on Jewish issues here in Spain during the Franco era, when there were very few American academics working here at all, but certainly who were working on Jewish issues. And so that's sort of the next piece of the puzzle when I return to the States that I plan on working on. So I'm hoping like I'll be done in 2 years. The goal is like fall 2018 to defend my dissertation. You know, PhDs in the U.S. just drag on and on and on. I'm in year six now. So I'm hoping 2 years of research and a couple of return trips, and I will, you know, I'll be done. And maybe then I'll return here for a postdoc or, you know, something else. But Spain will continue to be someplace that I come regularly because I think what's going on here is so important, and the Jewish community here is so understudied by particularly in the U.S., by anthropologists and historians. So I really hope that this project can contribute something new and vital, and that I can give back to all these people who have brought me into their synagogues, into their homes, into their libraries while I've been here. So that's my hope.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
For more information or to contact Charles McDonald, please go to the links on this page. Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you, so please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. See you next week.